This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
All right, kids, guess what? It's the beginning of hour three. Some people call it the C block, but we're just going to call it hour three. It's all right. We've already been through intros, obsessions. Last hour was headlines. This hour, it is Al Perkins in his entertainment corner. Coming up a little bit later, Kat Carlson in two things. She may not have two things, but
we'll
fill the time talking about all kinds of stuff because that's what we do. By the way, happy birthday in the chat room. Tim Wong is in the chat room. His birthday, I believe, was yesterday.
Hey,
was it yesterday? Is that right, Al?
Yes.
Tim, happy birthday. I don't know which one that was for you, but happy birthday. Hope things are going. Hope things are going well for you out there in the Los Angeles area. For those of you that know, Tim was actually an in-studio guest of ours right before he moved away. Met him at Stacy's, I did. Anywho, well, it looks like Al's getting ready to talk for about another hour, so here we go.
Oh, no, not at all. So Jared Leto's Joker is ready for his close-up, and in a strange thing, he was really touted for 2016 Suicide Squad as, like, the Joker being a big role in that movie and a big part of it, and he was, like, it just kept constantly getting released, his makeup choices, his hair choices, and then he was hardly in the movie. Like, he played almost no role. The movie was about Harley Quinn or whatever her name is, and it was, I mean, it wasn't a great movie, it wasn't a bad movie, it was very colorful, and you know what I mean, it was air-conditioned. It happened. But now Joker is going to be, Joker movie will be set within the DC Extended Universe, which is Suicide Squad, Justice League, Wonder Woman, the upcoming Aquaman. But there's also a potential Joker origin movie taking place outside of all this, with Joaquin Phoenix being the origin for the Joker. And I'm like, isn't he a little long in the tooth for an origin story? Like, we usually have to replace these people when they hit 21. Like, I don't know. I don't understand that one either. So, and there's also a direct sequel coming to Suicide Squad featuring Harley Quinn, which was Margot Robbie from I, Tonya. And she really was terrific in it. It was, you know, it was an okay movie. But she was fun in it. And it was, like I said, it was very colorful.
I was entertained the entire time.
Yeah,
listen, you can't badmouth that movie to me because I...
Oh, I, Tonya? Oh, no.
I giggled the whole time.
Oh, no, yeah. No. Suicide Squad was the one that I'm like, I didn't care if it ended or they kept going. Like, they could have shut that projector off at any point and I'd been like, oh, that seems like a good place to end it. But no, I, Tonya was terrific and she's good. As far as cancellations goes, there's that show on Champions by, I just drew a blank on her name. From The Office and from, oh my gosh, she had her own show for years that went to Hulu. The Mindy Project.
Oh, Mindy Kaling.
Yes. So she did that Champion show. She was executive producer. She was in a few episodes about dropping off her gay kid in New York with a baby's father.
Oh, I never saw
with the kid's father so that she could get a little break from parenting and let him get to meet his father. It's the one that Jon Favreau's brother from Pod Save America, his brother is the cute brother on the show. And it's the only show up in the air from last season that they still have not announced whether or not it's canceled or renewed. I kind of hate watched most of it, but I wanted to give it a chance because it's a gay Indian kid. I'm like, how many jobs is this kid going to get?
Right.
You know what I mean? Hopefully it's the start of diverse casting, but we don't know.
Never know.
So I'm kind of curious how that goes. And to see why they haven't canceled or renewed it. I don't know what's happening there. And as an update, The Walking Dead jumped over the bridge and swam away and like no one cares anymore. We just hate watching that till it ends.
Okay.
And Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick, has announced that this next season will be his own. And he got to his last.
Oh.
And he got to announce
that.
Kill
him spectacularly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was surprised. Well, most people that watched this last season thought that this was going to be his last season and that they would make Carl the star of the show as the comic books did. They went a different way, and now Andrew Lincoln, so maybe they'll make Maggie, they'll make it a girl show. But then Fear the Walking Dead, which I also was hate watching because every opportunity they had to have a good villain, the person would just be laying on the side of the road. You're like, wait, that was a great opportunity.
Damn it.
Like, we could have seen a great origin story for a villain. Well, now they've hired new showrunners and completely changed the direction of the show. And it's been a terrific season. I waited to watch it pretty much all at once. And they turned that one around. And I thought that one was pretty much gone and impossible to fix. But that's been kind of interesting. So if you watch it, coming up on Netflix, Orange is the New Black.
End of July, right?
Is coming back July 27th for season 6.
Oh, and we're going to have to back up and rewatch because some shit went down. I don't even remember all of it.
I know. So you do have to go back because that show has so much going on and so many characters.
Things. Yeah.
But
and so many things happened in like those last three episodes.
Right. And the for watching last season, they really had to clean up a mess. And it's kind of like when you have a show that does like a really good big bad, like Dexter, mm-hmm. and you have to like reset everything because they've completely fucked with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
After the Pusey cafeteria incident, that whole next season was just about
crazy town.
Just reset.
Yeah.
So now I'm curious to see what they do. Do they bring back a good villain? Like, how do they navigate their way
through?
Well,
they've moved them all out of Litchfield.
Yeah, so where are they?
They're all maybe different places. Maybe it's a tale of two cities now.
Oh, I know. But then you end up in the Walking Dead, where you got to watch 19 different shows mm-hmm. to figure out like what each one's doing. Like, have them
I hope
live
that's
in the same
not a thing.
Have them live in the same house. Don't create four different stories so that there's
yeah or ice. Kill some people off.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Let me tell you, we can do without Piper all day long.
Oh yeah, there's no reason
that bitch
for her.
Can go.
And now a limited series from HBO, Sharp Objects, which I'm convinced, and please Google this for me if this wasn't already a movie that I liked once, but it is based on Gillian Flynn, who wrote Gone Girl. It's one of her other two books.
Mm, okay.
I think she may even have a fourth one, but Sharp Objects, I'm convinced, was already made into a movie. It's coming to Netflix sometime in the next month. It's based on the 2006 book by Gone Girl author Gillian Flynn. It was developed by Marty Nixon, Unreal, and directed by The Big Little Lies, Wild, Jean-Marc Vallée. Mm-hmm. The mystery is as much about who Camille is and what happened in this town as about the murders. 8 episodes, premieres July 8th. A terrific read if you haven't read. She has 3 books that I know of. Sharp Objects, Gone Girl, and one other one. And I thought...
I don't think it was already a thing. The book is so recent.
I'll go to IMDb. But so this looks really good. And Amy Adams, can she do any wrong?
She cannot. She is
pretty good.
We like when she does everything.
So I'm just going to waste your time. So sing a little song to yourselves while I look and see which of her movies have been made into.
Do you have a song suggestion?
Whatever you'd like.
So many songs.
There's a lot of songs. There's tons of songs out there.
Dark Places.
Motown?
I'm so sorry.
Should we go?
Dark Places is the one. That's the one that they've already made a movie of. My apologies. And Sharp Objects. And it's Charlize Theron. Another terrific movie and how that all plays together. I read all those books kind of in like one summer, so they all mix together to me. I'm never sure which one I'm watching. So there's that.
I need a book. I'm about to spend a week at the beach, and that's all I do at the beach is read. I need a book.
I am suggesting...
I want to go look at trucks.
Well, we do garbage trucks in the morning.
But later on.
And then later on, I read a book.
Yeah. So it seems to be a short read. I'll Be Gone in the Dark, Michelle McNamara, about the Golden State Killer and her obsession. This is a woman playing extra bedroom detective.
Mm-hmm.
I am... about a tenth of the way through, by all accounts. Wow, is it a fast read. I mean, I was banging it out last night. I feel like I read for 2 minutes and knocked out a chunk.
Right. Tell me the name again.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark. And it's a little bit about what she discovered on her own, like seriously home sleuthing, Googling.
Okay.
And then something about, like, she interviews the police that worked on the case. So she gets people, like... retrospectively looking back at like what they thought, what they saw, and then she goes back with like Google Maps and like, well, here's what it looked like you just did with like,
oh my gosh,
show me the strip in 1985, and she's like, well, that's not really possible where you say that is. So it's kind of interesting how she's
and I if this has already been divulged, I don't know, or I haven't heard this, at any point did any one of these people who was investigating or looking back or looking at this at all, did anybody happen to have interviewed him and not realized it?
We'll find that out. And that's what I'm saying. I want them to make a movie of this next part. Like, I want someone to, like, write the book of, like, how did we get from we had no idea for 10, 15 years anything was happening.
Right.
She got everybody looking again. She really started poking, and she was obsessed, like me, with true crime dramas and stuff like that.
Well, and there was an investigator. His name is Paul Holes. And I only know this because I started listening to a podcast called My Favorite Murderer, and they've been really focused on the Golden State Killer mm-hmm. lately. And they actually had Paul Holes as a guest, and I haven't finished listening to it. Mm. So maybe there's even more information there.
But she's saying right here, like in the early stuff, that she knew that it was that somehow DNA was going to play a role.
Mm-hmm.
Like she knew. So I'm curious to see how this plays out. But it's a fast read. I read 125 pages last night in what it felt like 30 seconds.
You're very busy.
Yeah, I don't sleep a lot. So that would be my recommendation for you.
It's available on Kindle. That might happen.
Oh, it definitely is. So let me make sure there was nothing left over here. Kimmy Schmidt, terrifically funny. And because, like, there's always got to be something that they take on. Very funny to watch Kimmy Schmidt realize, because of her being a mole woman, how awful most stories are in justifying being bad to women. And it's a really funny theme. Like, as she, like, looks at fairy tales and looks at stuff, it's like, no, you, like, why would you say that? And so it's very funny. And I made that not funny at all, but funny how she keeps...
You did a really good job at not making that funny.
Thank you. Thank you. It took me to heart. But it really is interesting. Oh, and then my gay card. So I may have seen The Children's Hour at some point. It's the whole point of The Celluloid Closet is like the first, you know, about the gay movies, and it's the one from the 60s, Shirley MacLaine, Audrey Hepburn, the two women running a girls' school that are accused of being lesbians and have their lives destroyed.
I feel like I've seen that.
I think it's de rigueur, and I think I saw it in the 80s, but I don't like 100%, didn't 100% remember it. But it's part of like the gay, you know, icons of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting to see it done, and that it had a backlash like 15 years ago from The Celluloid Closet, or 20 years ago, about like representing gays wrong. But then you come back around to it and you got to be like, they didn't know what the fuck gay was either. You know what I mean? The one girl has feelings. She doesn't know what they are. The other one doesn't think that's even possible. She thinks she's just in a friendship. So them being confused with each other is a perfectly legitimate response.
Right.
Like they weren't going to stand up with a pee flag sign and be like, this is my mountain. You know what I mean? Like, it comes off as much more genuine that, like, one is confused and one is like, I guess this is true.
I don't
know
what that is, right.
Yeah. And the other one is, like, horrified of, like, that's not you. We're just friends. Like, this is, like, and she doesn't see, like, the fried green tomato situation they've developed. So it would... And it really does kind of play into that fried green tomatoes relationship, but nobody says, I'm as settled as I ever hope to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
So The Children's Hour, very good. It's out on DVD, not on any streaming that I could find. And it came up because I was watching a Shirley MacLaine movie, and I'm like, oh, I used to like her when she was that little pixie-haired thing. And then I watched a little interview about from The Celluloid Closet where she's like, I don't understand why we never talked about backstory. Like, why didn't we sit down and talk about the motivation for this speech that she gives? I'm like, because she would have no motivation. She would have had no like, knowing of like, lesbians. They're from this little small town in Vermont, let's say. Like,
ooh.
She would have nothing to, like, look to as a role model to be like, well, that's what I want.
Right.
Like, her coming up with some grand political speech would make no sense.
I can rent it for $4 on Amazon.
Oh, there you go. Well worth it. It was really good. So that was it. So it was weird to see, like, the tide turn the other way again of, like, settle down, people. There can be confused young people in the world.
That's really most of them are.
Yeah.
Just confused young people.
And then lastly, the Drama Desk Awards. A couple of...
Oh, tell me more. I haven't watched them yet.
Tell me more.
Does he have a car?
Jenny, I'll just interject this right quick for you.
Tell us a story.
Jenny, there's the picture. I showed this. I think I showed it last week. She was asking about the shirt that I'm wearing, asking what it says on it. And I explained it's a
joke. It's a lovely shirt. Where'd you get it?
Oh, my God. Well, I have a great friend who makes shirts.
Isn't that terrific?
Yes, Kat Carlson made
this
shirt.
That's very handy.
My friend, in the picture, my friend Dean is standing next to me, and he's the one that we joke about the fact that, you know, we have a summer body, but not this summer.
Not this summer.
It may not be next summer. But
or the summer could have already gone.
Yeah, who knows? A summer of yesteryear. Who knows? But yes, that's what the shirt means.
It looks good on you.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
I like it.
Actually, I was literally thinking I should just start buying black V-necks through you.
Oh, sure.
Because I like the shirt.
Oh, do you?
Only thing, I just wish it was a little bit of a deeper V. Mm. But, like, this is a great... This is perfectly fine. I like everything about the shirt.
It's a comfy shirt.
There you go.
So I may just...
I don't like scratchy shirts. I so like can nice
you...
Shirts.
So now I think you're out... You're,
can I be your wholesaler?
Yes, that's exactly what I need to
yes,
be.
Yes, I can.
Got it.
Yeah. We'll get them to you inexpensively.
Oh, my God. That lovely. I may have to put that in my journal.
Dear diary. So the Drama Desk Awards combine off-Broadway and Broadway, so things that may have been eligible, you know, last year for Tonys are not eligible, you know what I mean? Like, so it kind of confuses two different worlds and two different time frames.
Very crazy, but you get some interesting stuff on the Drama Desk.
Right, on the Drama Desk. And they dig a little deeper, but Outstanding Musical did go to SpongeBob SquarePants.
I'm telling you,
but
about a visit to win from a shit ton of awards.
A visit from the band was not...
The band's visit.
The band's visit was not on the list, although Mean Girls was.
Because they were on the list last year because of whatever the rules to the Drama Desk were.
Because they were off Broadway and moved to Broadway. So, like, right. Evan Hansen and Hamilton, the years
I
were
found,
off.
I found the band's visit last year because they performed at the Drama Desk Awards last year.
Right. So, as I said, it's weird with the timing and who's eligible and who's not.
I don't understand it either.
So, that's who they're... That's the Tony Awards. So far from watching Gold Derby, the money's on... The band's visit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Interesting.
Outstanding revival of a play, Angels in America. I don't think anyone should argue against this one in any way. Outstanding play was admissions from Lincoln Center Theater, and then revival of a musical was My Fair Lady, Lincoln Center again, with Carousel on the list, which is the one that's getting all the noise, Once on This Island, Pacific Overtures. And on Gold Derby, they're talking about how nice... Lauren Ambrose's voices and how she has a nice operatic soprano.
Okay.
Where the review said she was like kind of a slouch. So it was nice to hear someone say something positive about her singing. Cause I'm like, she is trying to take on a Julie Andrews.
Hard to her, do, sure.
Yeah. One of her most iconic roles.
Good night, Tim. Thank you.
So outstanding actress in a play. Glenda Jackson is still alive and no longer a part of Parliament. She's been in Parliament in Great Britain for centuries, and now she's back, and she just won a Drama Desk Award.
Good for her.
And she is 90-something?
Yeah, she's very old. Yeah. Outstanding actor in a musical, Ethan Slater wins for SpongeBob SquarePants, but he beat Joshua Henry for Carousel, which everyone is saying that's the race to watch, is for which one of those two will win best actor. Outstanding actress in a musical, Jesse Mueller wins for Carousel against Daphne Rubin Vega for Miss You Like Hell. Ashley Park for
I miss you like crazy.
Yes. LaChance is, and in front of it is pronounced LaChance.
Okay.
No, not LaChance like I've been saying. And that's for Summer the Musical. Featured acted in a play, Nathan Lane for Angels in America. Again, I think that's kind of a gimme.
Right.
Featured actress in a play was Jamie Brewer, but what they were saying on the one that they are talking about on the Tony Awards isn't even nominated. She's not even here. So I guess she's the one for... Oh, this isn't a play. I'm so sorry. So, featured actress in a musical, Lindsay Mendez for Carousel. They say she steals the whole show. And whatever you're hearing good about Mean Girls for featured actor and featured actress, just give it up because... Lindsay Mendez is winning for Carousel, according to the good people at Gold Derby.
Good for her.
And Gavin Lee for SpongeBob SquarePants, which I don't know if you've seen it, but I guess he does a dance as an octopus, a tap dance with eight legs or something that's supposed to be
I haven't seen it.
Spectacular. And Gavin Lee is the one that tap danced upside down across the proscenium in Mary Poppins. And that was the only number in that show that I didn't hate. But Gray Henson is the, I think he's playing the gay kid in Mean Girls.
Okay.
And he's getting a lot of press, and they're saying there's
too gay to function.
Too gay to function. Oh. And then we just saw him in Hamilton with Joshua Henry. Or I don't know if he made it as far as Phoenix, but he was in L.A. when I saw it. Is Alexander Gemignani. He was the king.
The traditional spelling.
Yeah. Gemignani. He was the king, and he was the one that played the king in off-Broadway, got replaced for Broadway, came back to do the tours, and now he's back in Carousel, and they're saying that, like, he's finally found his role. Like, this guy that's been floating around Broadway for a decade, everyone loves him, they've been waiting for the right role, and I guess Carousel is where it comes. Carousel is an awful, terrible, shitty play about spousal abuse and they get you at the end when they get Renee Fleming to sing You'll Never Walk Alone. I cannot stress enough how terrible this show is. It's terrible.
But if you got one big showstopper.
Yeah. So Outstanding Director of a Musical went to SpongeBob SquarePants. Mm-hmm. And Outstanding Choreography to Justin Peck for Carousel. And that's the one that, where they were talking about that octopus dance, which we've got to find. Somebody's got to find it somewhere. Book of a Musical, Tina Fey won for Mean
Girls. I may or may
not
know where the bootleg lives.
Yeah, but we'll find it. Somebody's got to be performing that soon. But Tina Fey won a Drama Desk Award for Book of a Musical.
Good for her.
So the Tony Awards are on this Sunday. Check them out. It's always the most entertaining award show.
It's my fave.
On the air. Yep. Oh. Solid entertainment.
Performances.
Yep. So that's this Sunday, and I'll say the Tiffany Network, because they think
it's... I believe it is. In fact, I'm sure it is, because it's they're promoting it before you go into Colbert.
Yeah.
At night.
So there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, sure.
So terrific entertainment. You got a couple things to know if you're doing any kind of a ballot.
I gotta fill mine out.
I was very disappointed that
I feel like I was supposed to be hosting them, but I'm staying very, very quiet.
Yeah, shh.
It's a secret. I don't want to do that.
I was kind of hoping that the one that plays Disco Donna would win, but after hearing them describe her competition for featured actress in a play, it seems like a really tough year, and this one from Carousel might be where they throw an acting, but it would nice to see Joshua Henry after all of the stuff he's done and his great performances.
Yeah,
get a Tony, even if it's for such a shitty part, playing Billy in Carousel. But at least I don't know. I guess
get
they
him
made
as Tony.
It's colorblind casting, so now the horrible guy is black. I don't know if that's good. You know what I mean? Like, oh no, it's horrible. She stays with a man who beats her. I mean, it's just and the part that Audra McDonald won her first Tony. Playing that supporting role, that's how she won her first Tony, was for the role. And I can't let, we'll find out what song she sings. Can't Help Loving That Man, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's from Carousel. Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly, I gotta love one man till I die.
Can't help
loving that man of mine. There's a jazzy version in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
That's true, there is. Yeah.
I think that's her song. Or she gets June is busting out all over. Carousel's full. It's just a shitty play.
Is it Mr. Snow?
Mr. Snow. That's a Liza Minnelli started singing that song in her early in her career. All the song. You've heard every song in Carousel.
I'm sure I have.
Trust me when I tell you. At some point or another, you've seen enough cabarets.
I feel like I put on Carousel at one point and actually just turned it off.
I've been on a Carousel.
Oh, the movie.
I get sick.
The movie's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. But it's got If I Loved You, which is terrific.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
What happened?
Tap dancing. Aaron found a link at 4 minutes, 53 seconds.
Oh.
But it's a link to the bootleg.
I'm not too proud. So that's it for entertainment. So that's it! I told you it wasn't much.
Well, that's exciting.
There wasn't much.
I was going to throw a couple things into your entertainment segment.
What?
Well, this is entertainment, but I thought you might want to know. Kelly Sadler, she's the one in the White House who made the comments about John McCain dying.
Yep.
Out. She's out of the White House. She's gone.
Good.
Anything to say about the old Samantha Bee and the cunt reference? Anything about that? Because that's entertainment.
No, I think that's perfectly fair.
I think all bets are off.
Okay.
Yeah,
if you're going to be a cunt, somebody should call you a cunt.
And did we all see the Sally Fields...
Fields that it was
tweet.
An insult to cunts.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
Also, in the death, and I don't know if you said you didn't know much about her, but believe she's David Spade's sister, if I'm not mistaken. Kate Spade, the bag maker.
I am 99% sure that is.
I believe
true
that's to be correct.
I forget. And from Arizona.
Yeah, she's right here from Scottsdale.
Yeah,
Kate Spade
killed herself
with a note today. So found her passed away in her New York apartment today. I didn't know if there was anything. I'm not a fashion person at all,
but I
didn't know if there was any relevance to that at all with anybody.
No, and I mean, it's always sad. 50-some years old commits,
53, 55, something like that. She has a 13-year-old daughter.
It's awful.
I'm not sure what in the hell, what demon she was dealing with, but that's... I feel worse for the daughter than I do of anybody else. Because I'm like, now the rest of her life is...
Oh, and we may have not have talked about this. Speaking of suicide, in Netflix obsessions, I finished 13 Reasons Why
Yeah.
Be prepared. That is
really? Is it
that is brutal.
Tougher than the first season?
Yes, because they because the way they do it with it'll come to me. Survivors. Mm-hmm. And the way that and I think
oh, it's sure, because season two is about how everybody else's life is fucked
so
up, right?
Each person the narrator of each episode is who has to testify.
Okay.
So you find out what they really testify and then you mm-hmm. find out their truth as the overarching theme of the show. Right. You find out what
three
really
sides to every story.
Right.
So there's mine and the truth.
And the truth. And so you see like what really happened, what they're portraying in their testimony, if they're lying when they're some people are giving like frighteningly frank testimony. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was devastating TV. And that last, like, you have to check your psychological well-being. Like, I had a couple moments of, like, am I prepared to watch, like,
okay.
this as far as, like, death goes? It handles mourning in what I thought was a very beautiful way. Like, the fact that, like, the mom is grieving. The friend is Kate Walsh in a spectacular performance. Terrible wigs all around.
Budget was low.
There's a backstory of gun violence in schools that made me like insanely angry. Wow. I was angry at everyone's reaction to the guns and I was enraged. Like I had so many emotions during that show and cried for like face down on the couch crying for an hour. Like that was because you have to face grief and how you let someone like how do you let someone go and go live a happy life regardless of how they died. But how do you say goodbye to someone who's died and go on with your life? Because at some point you have to like the mail gets delivered the next day, the snowplows come, like life just goes on. You have to like eventually get up and move around.
Right.
But at what point do you decide to do it? Have you decided to do it? Are you still like in that dark place of missing someone? It was very, 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 I thought it was very well done. Wow. And I did watch the after show with the counselors. I did watch that to like check in of like this was a really shitty idea, like this part of the story that we made for TV is not what you should do in any way, shape or form. And I was really glad to hear that.
Oh good,
because there's one part that I thought that is just that's dangerous and stupid and in this age of guns and shootings, like no stop. Like there was times I was like screaming at the TV, call an adult. They handle the rape story so thoughtfully from everyone's perspective of like, it's as we're talking about with the Me Too mom, it's your story to let out. Like it's your story to tell when you're ready. You're not on some kind of a time frame. You don't have to be pushed into, you know, if you're not ready, if you're not psychologically ready. So I mean, there's a lot going on that
TV
show.
It's a lot to unpack. Yeah, I've seen a couple of comments back and forth. I've tried to stay away because I really do want to watch that. Because I thought the first season was really well done.
Yeah, it's really nicely done.
Anybody who's listening, Aaron, you are correct. I didn't want to misspeak and think that we were giving out bad information. Kate Spade married into the Spade family. She was actually not from Scottsdale, not from Arizona. David Spade is. He is a local person to us here. She was actually born in Kansas City in December of 62.
Everything's up to date in Kansas City.
She married into Andy Spade back in 94, which made her the sister-in-law to David Spade. So that is the connection.
Yeah, I had heard at some point that there was a connection. He was like a comedian at a like Harrison saw him like at the burger place stand up back in his. How old is he? Do we know?
David Spade. It can't be hard to figure. I would put him at is he 50?
Oh, I think he's old. I think he's older than me.
David Spade, 53.
53. So, like I said, he was just a couple years older than us in college, and was.
And he's actually from Birmingham, Michigan, but then lived here, moved here clearly because we know him as a local person.
The comedy club at Scottsdale and University, at Rural and University.
The Improv. Used to be there?
Yeah.
I don't think it's there anymore.
That's where.
It's still there.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He had funny jokes about Chardet and the spelling of his name. Like, he was one of those comedians that were kind of watching.
But, yeah, so David Spade is 53, so he's a little older. We put him at the Wilkes age, correct? Right?
Yeah, if you want to say that out loud and not get killed, go ahead.
Well, Doug and I had a discussion about age just the other day here. Right.
Oh, I'm right. Raised in both Scottsdale from age 4 and Casa Grande.
Oh, the big town of Casa Grande.
Yeah.
Well,
look out.
Well, that makes him special,
doesn't
it?
Welcome to the big house.
Mm-hmm. Kat, do you have two things?
I don't.
Okay, well, then we'll skip that. What do you want to talk about now?
Well, do we have any updates on the election?
I'm Shawn Mendes. You know, does anybody else know anything about Shawn Mendes?
Shawn Mendes, yes.
Yeah, I saw him.
I tried to listen to him after he was on SNL last year.
No idea. But I don't really care for his music.
I mean, I think his music is terrific.
Because it is about him just doing a little falsetto voice, and to me it all sounds the same at this point.
I'm into it.
But when I saw him doing the carpool karaoke last night with Corden, I was like, well, who is this cute man with a big, beautiful smile? And then they started singing shit. But he was very, very funny.
That song Stitches is the one that everybody knows. Mm-hmm.
But it was very funny. If you watch the carpool karaoke with him, it was really cute because at one point, Corden makes a comment with regards to Justin Bieber selling his underwear online, and Shawn Mendes says, well, I'd buy it. I'd get like $500. And then they did make a qualifier of, well, I want it to be underwear. Like, did you do a concert? Did you record a song in this underwear? Like, it can't just be Tuesday's underwear. It's got to be a specific thing. And then Corden says to him, well, what would you get for my underwear? And he goes, I would pay you to not have your underwear. I would pay you money to keep it as far away from me as possible. And it just made Corden crack up. It was very, very cute. And then they went and played hockey, which was funny, too, because Corden.
Is he Canadian?
He is.
Oh.
He is Canadian. He just moved out of his mother's house, and he said his mother still comes to his new house and cleans, because that's just what she does.
Well, don't stop that train.
Yeah, there's that.
Don't be stupid.
All right. Good work.
There is that.
Nothing Anything else especially you want to talk about? Exciting in the California primary update. It looks like they put a little check mark by Dianne Feinstein as moving on to the next round. Congratulations. Gavin Newsom moving to the next round. Still unknown, those two challengers.
God, Feinstein. How old is Feinstein? My God.
I don't know.
Let me look that up right quick.
You could.
40. She's probably 70-something.
I would imagine. Dianne Feinstein, age 84.
Wow.
Holy shit. Holy she's crap. 84.
Good on her.
Damn. Pelosi's 78. Boxer, 77. Kamala. I like Kamala. Kamala Harris is 53. 84 years old, Dianne Feinstein. Holy crap. That's crazy.
Yep. I don't see any other really notable. I lost the... Where's the Nunes district?
Well, I did that backwards.
Still nothing declared in the 39th, the Ed Royce district.
So she was 44 when Harvey Milk got killed.
Wow.
Literally 40 years ago. Right? 77, is that correct? 77,
78. One of those two. Somewhere between 77 and 79.
Harvey Milk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like 77.
That's what I was thinking. Nope, I'm wrong. November 27th, 78. Nope, yeah, assassinated. November 27th, 78.
Still before I was born.
Still. See, that puts her at 44 years old when he was...
Wow.
Because for some reason, I pictured her younger at that time.
Right.
But wow, 84.
Yeah, okay, so we'll have to wait till morning for California, it looks like.
Well, there's got to be a morning after.
According to this...
What are you looking at?
The update with not much in. Young Kim, not a rapper, a Republican, is leading so far with 26%. Gil Cisneros is in second with 16.3%, and Phil Liberatore, a Republican, with 12.3%. So... Yeah, and that's the weird one where it does Orange County, Los Angeles, and San Bernardino. It's that's that part of California that's always trouble.
Okay.
Well,
so that's the one with the best chance of those of Young Kim and Phil Liberatore taking it, and then no one cares. Like literally, they just want an R in there.
Right.
But flipping that one would be big.
Flippy, flippy, flippy.
Yes. Yeah, the trial was 80. I think 84 is the right year for the trial for the Twinkie defense. I know it won the Oscar for 85, so the documentary was finished by 1985 because Kathleen Turner gave out that award.
Kathleen Turner.
Good on her.
For best documentary feature.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Right. So hopefully we'll find out about the California elections as long as we can get a Democrat into that 39th district. The one of Nunez looks like it's going to be Nunez and a Democrat, so he should be easy to get out of office.
God, we can hope.
He's been slammed just about everywhere by everyone, and I don't think the RNC is going to back him.
Good.
Like, I think the RNC is going to let him flounder.
They're going to back him. Listen.
No, the RNC is going to spend their money on the 39th. They're not going to. They'll throw him a pittance, but they're not going to do the full support.
They will certainly support him. They've supported child molesters. They've supported.
Right, but they're not. They've kind of given up on California. Like the RNC is not.
Oh, sure.
They're not going to spend a lot of money. And he's shot himself in the foot, the mouth, the head so many times that...
He ought to be dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A child molester's got a better... A child molester in Alabama has a better shot than he does in California.
What a sentence to say.
Yeah.
It's a sentence to say out loud.
That the RNC is all in with... Okay, go with the child molester, but...
Sure.
But Nunez, he's fucking crazy. Every time you see him on TV... Mm-hmm. He's on that list of like, shouldn't completely. You get help?
Yeah. And can't you, is reality just completely foreign to you? Is that what this is?
Yes.
No? No facts at all? Nothing?
I don't know.
All right, can we stick a fork in this? Are we good?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, we're good. All right.
Then we're going to do that. Oh, my heavens. Well, don't forget, Kat Carlson is out next week, so we may have Doug Wilkie, The villainess may be here. We don't know. We'll have to reach out to him to find out. Or we may have somebody else. Who knows? You never know. Yeah. But then following next week, we're out for 2 weeks. So the end of the second half of June, we will be off the air and figuring out what else we're going to do with our lives. My gosh. Well, thanks for coming by, kids, tonight and sharing my Tuesday night with me here in the old studio.
Good times. Good times.
Thanks all for of you in the chat room, thank you very much. My gosh, I hope you all go out and do something exciting with your lives.
And tell us about it next week.
Be exciting for all of us, of course. Well, as we wrap up tonight's show, we're going to leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!
Kinda.
So...
It's enough for today. Spicy's going to go bye-bye right now. I need a big boy nap.